Om Namah Shivaya. Dear listeners of Shaivam.org, the next program is Divine Discourse. In this, you are about to listen Highlights of Upanishads. The title is Kathopanishads, presented by Swami Jyotirmayananda. Thank you. Om Namah Shivaya.
या प्राणेन संभवति अदितिः देवतामयी गुहां प्रविश्य तिष्ठन्तीं या भूतेभिर्व्यजायत एतद्वै तत्. He is born along with all the pranas, vital forces, and was born along with all living beings. Having entered the cave of the heart, he abides therein. He is Aditi, the all-devourer, existing in the form of all gods. Whoever knows him attains that. This is indeed that. It's a mystic statement. You have to strengthen myself for that. Brahman, who has entered in your cave of the heart. Allegorical description, he didn't enter, he is the reality. And when you are communing with that Brahman has the possibility that he has, his very purpose of his existence is to devour the world of duality. In other words, to put it in a very simple way, the world of multiplicity is because there are subtle desires in your unconscious, vasanas, that keep your vision distracted. The distracted vision is called vikshepa. Vasanas create vikshepa in your mind. First obstacle, mala, has to be removed in order to come to this stage. Mala is destroyed by karma yoga. Vikshepa is the focus now. The God within you, as you begin to commune with God, God is a big devourer. His Ganesha has a big stomach. All your desires that make your mind balloon inflated, that God swallows it up. In other words, if you begin to find fulfillment through devotion, meditation, then all inflated desires begin to move away. You are not living in a world for pursuing countless desires. That becomes foolish movement. You are not living in the world to count countless rainbows. Why not be in the sun? Instead of going after rainbows, rainbows will come and go. Sunshines will come and go. All wondrous phenomena created by sunset and sunrise, they will all come and go. But this is a field of distraction. If your mind is attracted to the sun, be attracted to God within you, who is like the sun. All these distractions have their source in God. Once you know that, then you realize how God can devour all your desires. In other words, your desires are fulfilled in a profound way. You become aptakama, fulfillment of desires. You experience inner contentment, tripti. That contented existence gives you profound rest. But you have to go one step more to complete fulfillment. That's removal of ignorance, which will happen automatically if you have reached this state. That God is described as Aditi, implying he is all devourer. All desires are fulfilled by his presence. Existing in the form of all gods, in the state of upasana, when you practice devout meditation, God is meditated upon according to your attitude, your feeling, your imagination. And how many are you? Countless. God can be meditated on in countless ways. Therefore, we have the tradition of Vishnu Sahasranam. Lord Vishnu has 1,000 names. Shiva has 1,000 names. 1,000 again is just to symbolize countless. Can this become, say, a powerful insight that when you recite your mantra or invoke God, the form of God you have chosen, always understand that if you are meditating upon, say, Rama, Krishna, Devi, Ganesha, Christ, whomsoever you meditate upon, you are meditating upon the God. In Him all other gods are implied. Whichever wave you choose to meditate upon, you are meditating upon the ocean. In the ocean all waves are implied. Subtle secret of upasana has been brought out in this mantra. We go into the 8th mantra. Aranyohanihito jata veda garbha iva subhrito garbhini bhi dive diva idyo jagrit jagrivadbhi havishmabhi manushye bhiragni etad vaitat. The all-knowing fire, God described as fire, symbol of light, light that destroys all the darkness. That all-knowing fire is hidden between the two pieces of sacrificial wood. What are those two pieces of sacrificial wood? Guru and disciple. Just as in old times, striking a match, old time method was, bring two sticks and go and rub it, and fire emerges out. So, how the guru and disciple rub? Teachings from the guru and being absorbed by the practice of listening, reflection, meditation. Guru is another aspect of satsanga. By increasing satsanga, allowing the mind to come into touch with scriptural knowledge, to gain insight into the mystic truths about the self. And this process has to go on day by day. As a result of this rubbing, fire, revelation dawns, I am that am I. Then the duality of disciple and guru moves away, there is nothing but fire. The Upanishad goes on saying, the all-knowing fire is hidden between the two pieces of sacrificial wood. Even as a fetus is well preserved by a pregnant woman, aspirant is compared to a pregnant woman. Aspiration that will bring liberation, aspiration is a pregnancy. And during this pregnant state, God and Guru go on nourishing it until liberation comes. Just like all the love and affection goes towards the baby in the womb, in the same way all your love and attention have to go towards the baby to be born, the vision of liberation. Subtle point, it is not all intellectual. Your heart has to be deeply involved in it. Bhakti and jnana, both must blend. If your spiritual movement is only intellectual, then you are lacking. Your spiritual movement should allow your heart to be gladdened, joyous, expectant. He is worshipped daily with sacrificial offerings by those who are spiritually awake. Your life has to become aradhana, a constant worship of God. All your actions are to be viewed as acts of worship. These are ideals. The ideal cannot be suddenly brought into your life, but you create a little movement toward. Deliberately you do certain work, in your mind with a feeling, this I am doing, an act of charity, this is I am offering to God. But as you are advancing, everything that you do is that process of offering. He is fit to be adored. All your life, all your actions, all your feelings, all your thinkings, all your thoughts, they are meant to bring you close to God. They are meant to lead you to liberation. This is indeed that. Each time Lord Yama repeats that, this is indeed that. So Nachiketa had insisted, give me Brahmagyan, knowledge of Brahman. And Yama goes on reminding him, this is what I am telling you, the knowledge of Brahman. That which you have asked me, that's this is what it is. Another echo into it, the self in you is the divine self. Yadascho deti surya astam yatra chagachati tam devah sarve arpitas tadu natyeti kaschana etad vaitat. Whence the sun rises, into which the sun sets, in that all gods abide. None can go beyond that. This is indeed that. Now this, coming to a profounder definition of Brahman. Yato va imani bhutani jayante. From Brahman all these multiplicity of the world has been created. By Brahman all these are sustained. Into Brahman all these dissolve. This is the definition of Brahman. In one of the Upanishads, that's the definition. Guru declares this. And then a disciple called Bhrigu says, I'm going to practice tapas. And the Guru says, all right, this is the definition of Brahman. Practice it. Find that from whom all this comes, by whom all this sustained, to whom all, in whom all this dissolves. Bhrigu practices austerity, and in a while, of course the Upanishad gives in a figurative way, in a year he comes back to his Guru and says, I have found it. And Guru asks, what's that? He says, Annam Brahmeti Vyajanat. I know matter is Brahman. The mystical word for that is food. Food is Brahman. How is it? Because according to his mind, from matter, all these have come. Matter can explain everything. It can explain your brain, it can explain your sentiments, can explain your rationality. And when you kick the bucket, nothing matters. So therefore, matter is Brahman. The Guru showed a sour face. And he repeated, Tapo Brahme. Do more tapas. Means practice more listening, reflection, meditation, more integral yoga. Again after a year he comes back. He says, I have known Brahman now. Guru asks, what's that? Pranam Brahmeti Vyajanat. Brahman is vital force, vital energy. The matter cannot work the way it works without vitality. So he has come to know a deeper level of matter, prana. All is prana, energy, vitality. Still Guru showed a sour face and said, Tapo Brahmeti. He goes again, practices austerity. This time he comes back and says, Mano Brahmeti Vijanat. I know mind is Brahman. Again Guru shows a sour face. Next time he comes back, intellect is Brahman. Again, then he comes back and says, Anandam Brahmeti Vyajanat. I know Ananda, the absolute bliss, is Brahman. Guru's face shines. That's the ultimate realization. But you have to go through different levels as you advance. But the ultimate fulfillment is absolute joy. A state where there is no subject-object relationship. There is no time, no space. It is the reality, the absolute. Yadeveha tadamutra, yadamutra tadanviha, mrityoha samrityum apnoti, ya iha nane vapashyati. Brahman that is here is the same there. Purnamadaha purnamidam. Brahman is full. But everything you are experiencing here has come from Brahman. And while we say it's come from Brahman, it is only to soothe your conditioned mind. Just like you are dreaming. All your dream has come from your own consciousness. Nothing is real. From the fullness of Brahman, this entire world has evolved. And when all this dissolves, Brahman alone remains. From your consciousness, the dream arises. And when the dream vanishes, consciousness remains. But even while the dream was going on, your consciousness was the reality. Likewise, God, Brahman is the reality. No matter how much you may wander through your conditioned mind, you may put on a refracted glass on your eyes, and no matter you may go beyond wandering and seeing things all refracted and colored and disfigured. You can go on doing that for a million years. Yet, you are seeing nothing but the reality. The moment the glass is taken out of your eyes, you are seeing the same reality which never changed. All multiplicity, diversity is being experienced by mind. And mind's experiences are fairy tales. Even within this lifetime, the experiences of your mind, say, 10 years ago, those experiences are not real anymore. Experiences of your mind 100 years ago in another embodiment can hardly have any awareness of it. But as long as you have minds, you are always experiencing a world that can give you amazing stress, amazing distress, amazing fun, amazing joy. You may go on seeing that, but nothing has changed. It is only through the glass of your mind. Take away that glass, enlighten yourself. Brahman alone is. That's where we are leading you to understand with this.
Om Tat Sat, Swamiji. Are good and evil relative terms? Is there an absolute evil? And what is the nature of evil?
There is no absolute evil. Good and evil are relative terms. And being relative, what's evil for one may be good for another. Figure that out. A person who has broken his smoking habit and he is smoking only 4 cigarettes a day. Smoking is evil. But he has broken the habit and just reducing it. So now his 4 cigarettes a day is good because he will go on decreasing. Another person watching him smoke gets inspired. He is doing it. Let me do it. He never smoked. Now the man has started smoking 2 cigarettes a day. Who is more virtuous? The one who is smoking 4 or the one who is just smoking 2? The one who has not been a smoker has learnt a bad lesson. He is smoking 2. He is more evil, moving in greater evil than the man who has reduced his evil. So you cannot be just looking at an appearance and determine where is more evil, where is less. Therefore, evil and good are relative terms.
Thank you.
However, there is absolute good, means God, self-realization.
Swamiji, can you tell us a little bit about your activities in India? And I think you have an ashram and a school. Can you talk about that?
Difficult because I didn't do little of activity. What I'm doing now, that tells the story of what I did before. See? Or that type of project.
Yeah, yes.
Mm-hmm. That comes in the magazine. We have all humanitarian project. We have basic project, our project is dissemination of knowledge. And all that goes on, I have no idea. But coming to more practical level, we have three centers of humanitarian activities. The place where my physical body was born, that place, village, their big activity is going on with educating children and giving all the satsangas. Many of our talks with this present world of technology, they are listening. And then there are humanitarian type of teachings being given to them so that they become more independent and progressive. A lot of work going on in the village. Another work is going on in Patna. Those people who know, Patna is the capital city of Bihar in India. A lot of work is going on there. Lots of work. The big bulk of work is being done by Dr. Shashi Bhushan Mishra. He is the president of International Yoga Society. International Yoga Society is a branch that emanated from our Yoga Research Foundation. That's from the very beginning. And he goes on printing out most of the Hindi literature, most of the English turned into Hindi. And there is a school, there is an orphanage, and lots of activities that uplift villagers and help people who are suffering. Charitable hospital, many things are there. All that goes on.
Hi, how are you? I was talking to her earlier that sometimes when I try to meditate, I have a lot of thoughts and I just not seem to calm them sometimes, so I can't get to good meditation. So I was wondering if you have like a best practice on how to calm my thoughts or how to get there to a better meditation.
For success in meditation, get involved with japa, repetition of mantra. If you don't have already any mantra, get initiated into a mantra. Learn the art of repeating mantra. So even when mind wanders, mantra acts like medicine. Because once the medicine has gone into your tongue, you see, whether you like it or not, it begins to work upon you. So mantra goes on, enriching your mind and preparing. So even if mind has wandered a lot and goes on wandering, if you keep up with your mantra, you are paving the way to a successful meditation and profound enrichment of life. So mantra is one way. Secondly, of course, you can join our mantra or meditation classes, guided meditation, and it's practice that makes you successful. But practicing meditation must be done every day, and choose a time that's not so abrupt timing, but one early in the morning, wherever it is, 5 to 5:30, 5 to 6, or 6 to 7. Choose a time when you are completely relaxed. Get involved also in yoga exercises, and you can experiment with yourself whether meditation is better for you after exercises or before. But exercises will help you because your nervous system will be in a better position. Yoga exercises, a rhythmic plan of life. During your daily life, expose yourself more and more to spiritual studies, satsanga. So your mind has something substantial to work upon. So when you do that, then it's kind of in all aspected progress. You are integral movement. you know the art of action, your feelings will be more profound, your thinking will be more clear, your will be strong, and your head will blaze. All that doesn't happen immediately, but you get involved in it, and you will begin to experience it. And again, while the mind is wandering, and if you are practicing meditation, develop the attitude that you are in a train, and through your window you are seeing so many things. Who cares? Don't give any importance to wherever the mind goes.
Swamiji, can you talk a little bit about the relationship between prana, tejas, and ojas?
All depends upon the context. Prana is a vital force. Tejas, if you have sublimated a mala within you, for example, where you have anger, there is a kind of flare in your face. This is a distorted tejas. People fear you, but that fear is fearsome, terrible. A demon is coming. A sattvic tejas, you have sublimated your anger, and even in provocative situations, you are able to relax, smile, and radiate peace. Even though there is no light coming out of your face, the faces of people light up. That's called tejas. There's a light there. Ojas is another name for sublimation. The energy that's just moving towards, just keeping your muscles and your body. Now the energy is moving towards ability to control, turn anger into love, control a situation, look at it in a positive way. That requires a special strength. And if you do it, you become tejasvi. Your personality becomes vibrant. That's the quality that comes in people who are real leaders of mankind, or saints, sages who have great impact on others. Tejas, ojas, and what was that? Prana. Prana is the basic vitality. Tejas is one horn of the prana, ojas is another horn. Okay? Time for conclusion. We conclude. Om sahana vavatu sahanau hunak sahaviryam karavavahai tejasvinavadhitamast ma vidvishavahai. Om shanti shanti shanti. Hari Om.